Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited's second quarter 2021 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the management's prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, Ms. Ripple Tung, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations Manager. Please proceed, Ripple.
Thank you, operator. Thank everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's second quarter 2021 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, Mr. Zhen Miao, Chief Marketing Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited, Mr. Pan Li, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, and Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and the company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Security Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
很高兴在充满挑战的二季度，我们仍然实现了12.31美金的营收，17.1%的毛利率，以及环比显著提升了美国非会计准则净利润。由于多晶硅料的价格在五月和六月出现大幅度上涨。价格上涨从产业链自上而下传导有一定的时间差，我们快速增加了单晶硅片的对外销售，同时主动调低了组件环节的开工率。二季度的总出货量和销售收入与一季度大抵持平，季度盈利环比改善。随着下半年供应链价格的高位稳定和客户对价格接受度的总体提升，
We are very pleased to have delivered a revenue of $1.23 billion and gross margin of 17.1%, as well as a significant increase in non-GAAP net profit quarter over quarter, despite very challenging market conditions. In response to the sharp polysilicon price increases in May and June, and there is a certain time gap in the transmission of price increases from upstream to downstream in the supply chain, we quickly increased the external sales of silicon wafers and proactively lowered the production volume of modules. Total shipments and revenues in the second quarter were approximately flat compared with the first quarter, while profits improved sequentially. As prices along the supply chain remain high but relatively stable, we see overall acceptance of module price increases continuing well into the second half of the year. Demand for modules is gradually resuming, and our module production volume increased remarkably month over month in the third quarter.
在海外产业链的建设和布局上有长期积累的经验，这赋予了我们有更强的抗风险能力。年初至今，我们持续优化和完善了全球的供应链管理。 我们宣布与通威股份共同投资年产4.5万吨的多晶硅项目，让你入股了新特能源的全资子公司内蒙古新特能源，与瓦克签署了为期5年的硅料供应协议。瓦克将从其美国和德国工厂向新特能源供应多晶硅，这有助于我们供应链长期和稳定的业务增长。此外，我们在海外建立了硅片工厂，近期将开工建设，投产后将持续为我们在美国和马来西亚的生产基地供货。
As one of the first PV enterprises to go global, we have accumulated rich experience and insights into the development and management of overseas supply chains. This has given us the know-how and capability to mitigate risk. Since the beginning of the year, we have continued to optimize and improve our global supply chain management. So far, we have announced a few strategic cooperations, such as the joint investment with Tongwei Company Limited in a high-purity crystalline silicon project with annual capacity of 45,000 metric tons, an investment in Inner Mongolia Xinte Silicon Material Company Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of Xinte Energy Company Limited. And we have signed a strategic 5-year polysilicon supply agreement with Wacker Chemie AG. Wacker will supply polysilicon to Jinko Solar from its production sites in Germany and the United States, which contributes to the long-term stability of our supply chain and business growth. Meanwhile, the overseas wafer manufacturing facility will start construction soon and will serve our production facilities in Malaysia and the United States when production ramps up.
7个吉瓦的大尺寸新增电池产能投入生产，以支撑快速增长的大尺寸产品的需求。随着优势新产能的释放，叠加新技术的运用和工艺不断的优化，我们有信心一体化的产能结构优化所带来降本贡献会在下半年逐步体现。同时，电池技术正处于 P 型向 N 型转变的过渡时期，我们正凭借着技术优势和2年的量产经验推进 N 型电池产能的投资计划。
In terms of integrated operations, over 7 gigawatts of newly added capacity of large-size cells has put into production during the second quarter to support the rapid growth in demand for large-size products. With the release of new capacity, aided by the application of new technologies and the continuous optimization of our process, we are confident that optimizing the integrated capacity structure will gradually be reflected in cost reductions during the second half of the year. At the same time, cell technology is at a transitional stage from P-type to N-type, and we are expanding the investment plan for N-type cell capacity based on technical advantages and 2 years mass production experience.
技术的领先、良好的产品和服务是公司立足市场和不断提升市占率的根本。近期，我们的 N 型单晶硅片单节电池效率达25.25%，高效组件最高转换效率达25.53%，再次刷新世界纪录。今年多晶硅料的短缺拖欠了大尺寸产品的经济效益，我们大尺寸产品的出货比例在下半年将快速增长，预计明年大尺寸产品的市场渗透率会进一步提升。逐渐价格持续高位会带来市场结构的变化，分布式业务凭借更灵活的业务模式和对价更低的敏感度或者快速的发展。我们也相应提升了分布式的占比，预计分布式业务将从去年的20%-25%提升到今年全年的40%左右，以更好满足客户对分布式应用场景的需求。
Leading technology, high-quality products, and reliable services form the foundation of our success and the growth of our market share worldwide. Recently, the maximum laboratory conversion efficiency of our large area N-type monocrystalline silicon solar cell reached 25.25%, and the maximum laboratory conversion efficiency of our high-efficiency module reached 23.53%, both making history with new world records. This year, the shortage of polysilicon highlighted the economics of large-size products. We expect the proportion of our large-size product shipment to increase rapidly in the second half of 2021, and the market penetration rate of large-size products to further increase next year. High module prices have also brought about changes in the market structure. The uptake of the distributed generation business achieved rapid development with more flexible business models and lower sensitivity to prices. In response to this trend, we have also raised the proportion of distributed business for the full year to around 40% of total shipments, compared with 20-25% last year, in order to meet the needs of customers facing different distributed application scenarios.
光伏行业已经基本完成了从依赖政策补贴扶持到政策战略性扶持的转变，而技术创新持续带来的成本下降和产品升级为光伏需求提供长远的增长空间。今年下半年和明年都将是光伏装机的大年。 一线企业凭借大尺寸的产品和更高的比例和分布式更快的渗透，增速会快于行业平均，市占率将进一步扩大。为了保障逐年增长的全球运输，我们与中原海运和马士基都签署了战略合作协议。此外，为了助力中国分布式业务的快速渗透和储能业务的快速发展，我们近期和宁德时代、国轩高科等 产业的领导者签署了战略合作协议。合作伙伴将成立项目组，进行联合研发、资源共享，发挥更大的优势，去共同推进光伏加储能业务的发展。The
PV industry has largely completed its transition from relying on policy subsidies to policy strategic support, and the continuous cost reduction and product upgrades brought about by technology innovations have continued to fuel solar demand. We expect the second half of 2021 through 2022 to be a big moment for solar installations. Top-tier enterprises are expected to grow even faster than the industry average and further increase market share with higher proportions of large-size products and faster penetration of distributed generation markets. In order to secure the annual growth rate of our global shipments, we signed strategic cooperation agreements with both Costco Shipping and Maersk. At the same time, in order to facilitate the rapid penetration of China's distributed generation business and the accelerated development of the energy storage business, we recently signed strategic cooperation agreements with Contemporary, Amperex Technology, Coating High Tech, and other industry chain leaders. The partners will set up project teams to do joint research and development, share resources, and leverage their respective advantages to jointly promote further business development for solar plus energy solutions.
话题交给Jenna之前，我来介�到一下叶子指引。2021年第三季度公司的总出货量在5到5.5个吉瓦之间，其中逐渐的出货量在4.5到5个吉瓦之间，营业收入将在12.4亿美金到13.7亿美金之间，毛利率在15%到12%之间。 到2021年底，我们的单晶硅片电池组件的产能预期将分别达到32.5个吉瓦、24个吉瓦和45个吉瓦。2021年的全年总出货量，包含硅片电池和组件，维持25到30个吉瓦的指引不变。Before
turning over to Jenner, I would like to go over our guidance for the third quarter 2021. We expect total shipments to be in the range of 5 to 5.5 gigawatt. Including module shipments to be in the range of 4.5 to 5 gigawatt for the third quarter of 2021. Total revenue for the third quarter is expected to be in the range of 1.24 billion to 1.37 billion US dollars. Gross margin for the third quarter is expected to be in the range of 12% to 15%. The annual mono wafer, solar cell, and solar module production capacity is expected to be to reach 32.5, 24, and 45 gigawatts, respectively, by the end of 2021. The full year 2021 shipments guidance, including wafer, cell, and modules, is still expected to be in the range of 25 to 30 gigawatts.
Thank you, Ms. Li. In the second quarter, total shipments reached 5.2 gigawatts, inclusive of over 1 gigawatt of wafer and cell shipped to China market. In terms of module shipment by region, Europe contributed the largest portion of the module shipment this quarter, as module shipments increased by more than 40% year over year. Shipments to China and the United States remained stable sequentially. The rapid developing Chinese market has been given a boost by government policy and expected to contribute a large proportion of shipment in the second half of this year and 2022. Through continuously monitoring China's market demand and our customers' needs, we have allocated the utility projects and the distribution market with different personnel, products, and resources to support the coming strong growth. Overall, demand from overseas market remained strong in the second quarter, benefiting from both increasing power consumption brought about by the gradual recovery of energy consumption level, thanks to effective pandemic control measures and the effective implementation of carbon emission reduction goals in major economies like Europe and the United States. In addition, the expected reduction in subsidies in some markets has brought forward some demand. We believe that Europe and the United States and India will become even bigger driving forces for the newly overseas installation. The United States is one of our most important markets. Although the supplies have become more difficult of late due to challenges with shipping and the policies in short term, we have made strategic and long-term commitment to adapt our resources and infrastructure to better serve the U.S. market. Our teams have already been proactively deploying, researching, and promoting suitable long-term solutions that will allow us to continuously grow and meet the needs of U.S. market. We expect annual global installation in 2021 to be in the range between 150 to 160 gigawatts. Some projects scheduled for this year have been delayed to the following year due to higher costs in the supply chain. Along with the new project in 2022, installations in 2022 are expected to increase by over 30%. We reiterate our total shipment guidance of 25 to 30 gigawatts for the full year 2021. Looking forward, as we have a high degree of certainty on the future demand, we are striving to deliver faster shipment growth compared with industry average, to increase our global market share, as well as reaffirm our competitive position and leading position in this industry. In terms of product prices outside the United States, markets have generally maintained an upward trend. In terms of product structure, the proportion of our large size product have been rapidly increasing, with the 182 millimeter product accounting for approximately 50% of shipment in the second half of this year. We are bullish about the development prospects of distributed generation markets and expect up to 40% of total shipments this year would be going to distributed generation markets. We will continue to explore the global market demand for the distributed generation based on market trends and customer needs, and proactively increase our presence in China, United States, Europe, and explore other potential markets. With that, I will turn it over to Pat.
Thank you, Jenner. In the second quarter, We remained flexible and adjusted shipments for wafers, cells, and solar modules according to the prevailing market conditions. As a result, we achieved a relatively balanced performance in terms of shipments and profitability. Sales revenue was basically flat with the first quarter of 2021, while gross margin exceeded our expectations. The changes we addressed on the management and control operating expenses and exchange rate volatility have proven to be effective. Income from operations and net profit, excluding non-recurring items, increased significantly compared with the first quarter of 2021. For second half of 2021, we expect raw material prices to further stabilize and production volume to gradually increase, which combined with cost reductions resulting from new production capacity should have a positive impact on profitability. Let me go into more details about this quarter now. Total revenue was 1.23 billion, sequentially flat. Gross margin was 17.1%, sequentially flat. Disposal and impairment loss on property, plant, and equipment in the second quarter decreased significantly compared with the first quarter of 2021. Total operating expenses in the second quarter were 155.3 million, which accounted for 12.6% of total revenues. In terms of absolute amount and proportion, both improved significantly compared with the first quarter of 2021. Excluding shipping costs, we expect operating expenses as a percentage of total revenues to remain stable. The effective management and control of operating expenses increased income from operations to 55.2 million, up to 139% sequentially. Operating margin increased to 4.5% from 1.9% in the first quarter of 2021. EBITDA was 143 million compared with 123 million in the first quarter of 2021. Net income was 10.3 million and non-GAAP net income was 42.5 million, up significantly sequentially. Non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS increased to 0.89. We continue to optimize our hedging against foreign exchange risks and recorded a net exchange loss of 0.7 million, a significant reduction from a loss of 4.1 million in the first quarter of 2021. Moving to the balance sheet. At the end of the second quarter, our balance sheet of cash and cash equivalents was 1.01 billion, approximately flat with the first quarter of 2021. Accounts receivables due from third parties improved significantly sequentially, and we will continue to work on improving liquidity. AR turnover days were 62 days, compared with 68 days in the first quarter of 2021. Inventory turnover days were 138 days compared with 126 days in the first quarter of 2021. Total debt was 3.12 billion at the end of second quarter compared to 2.67 billion at the end of first quarter. Out of total debt, 67.6 million was related to international solar projects. Net debt was 2.11 billion compared with 1.59 billion at the end of the first quarter of 2021. This concludes our prepared remarks. We are happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Audio participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. Once again, 01 on your telephone keypad now. Our first question is from Mr. Philip Shen from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for taking my questions. I'd like to ask about the your view of the anti-circumvention Southeast Asia AD/CVD tariffs that could come around. So if the Department of Commerce takes on the case in the coming weeks, what would you expect to do? Would you continue to ship into the U.S.? And if so, how would you mitigate that risk of retroactive tariffs, or is there a possibility that you might stop shipping into the U.S.?
Philip, this is Charlie speaking, and you know, to the mitigate the risk, you know, not only the risk you are talking about, you know, the, let's say the U.S.-China, right, on this solar industries, and we have accelerated the process to build up more strong supply chain and integrated production line out of China, and I think you know we signed the silicon arrangement with Walker, and we have began to build up the around 7 gigawatts wafer capacities in Vietnam, and to match our capacity in existing capacities in Malaysia and the U.S. So from the, let's say, the medium term, we're optimistic and we will continue to serve, you know, our U.S. Reputable, you know, U.S. customers. And for the circumvention you are talking about the risk, and it's still in the early stage, and it did have some uncertainties, but, you know, we are, you know, following up the event and closely in keeping in touch with our customers.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. I know it's a tough situation, and you know, I think you brought up the silicon arrangement with Walker, and your 7 gigawatts of wafer capacity in Vietnam. I think in the anti-circumvention case, the Jinko Vietnam facility is mentioned in that case. And so if they do take the case on, does the wafer facility in Vietnam, would you continue to expand that or build that facility out? Or is there a chance that you might slow things down there?
You know, we don't have any further plan to, you know, expand capacity on the wafer out of China. And the first step, we want to have a, you know, relatively competitive list to build up the integrated, including the silicon, right, out of China to make sure to mitigate the risk to zero. And we think we are in a good position to mitigate this risk.
Okay, great. And then how much, with the WRO enforcement, how much product has not made it, how much of your product from Malaysia has not made it to the U.S. shores thus far? You know, and what is the impact of that on Q3 results? Because, you know, I think in your prepared remarks you talked about OPEX should be, you know, flat ahead, except for excluding shipping costs. And so to what degree, you know, how much product has been not able to get to the U.S. shores, and then how much is it costing you to store that product? Because my understanding is it can be quite expensive. And have you been able to find other markets for that product, or do you expect to wait for that product to make it to the U.S.? Thanks.
So yeah, we did have some modules, you know, stopped by the U.S. CBP and to request additional, you know, documentations, and we're still in the process in the preparations of relevant documentations, and at this stage we are, you know, cautiously optimistic, you know, for the results, and it did have, you know, because it's going to take time, so it did have some, you know, impact on our shipments to the U.S. market, and in terms of the storage, we did have additional, you know, we were expecting to incur additional storage for the inventories and waiting for the, you know, the preparation of the relevant documentations. And back to your question now is the solar, you know, demand is pretty strong, and you know, I think it's not the demand issues. It's just, you know, globally, it's just the supply, you know, supply chain, and the you know, higher supply chain cost and production capacity bottleneck.
Okay, Charlie, sorry to ask the question again, but can you quantify how much product has not been able to make it to the U.S. and what the cost might be to store that?
Well, in the process evaluation, you know, at additional cost, it did have, as I said, you know, have negative impact on the shipments to the U.S. as well as, you know, the gross margin, even, you know, net profitability is in the short term. But we are not in a position to disclose the detailed number.
Okay. I really appreciate you taking the questions. I know there's some tough questions. With that, I'll pass it on.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Credit Suisse, Mr. Jerry Zhao. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Thank you for taking my questions. This is Gary from CS. I have three questions. So firstly, can management share with us what is your module price outlook into the fourth quarter this year, so especially after the recent upstream cost hikes? And what do we think is the maximum kind of module price can the developers in China accept?
Sure. Thank you, Gary, for your question. This is Jenna. Regarding market price, we have seen the latest changes from the upstream supply chain side, like the polysilicon price change and the EVA price change, and even sometimes the glass price changes upwards as well. So we are anticipating the modules price will not be able to accept all the upwards because there are certain, you know, bottleneck and the ceilings for the downstream players and the customers to adopt all these numbers. So in our observation, the latest, I think, tenders by some of Chinese SOEs number are just released today and yesterday. We have observed all these tier one players are about 1.80 RMB per watt peak. So if we make it more specific, I think the range is somewhere between 1.82 to 1.86. That should be a flagship price for the rest of 21.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So my second question is, can management share with us a little bit more information on our cooperation with CATL? So just wondering if there's any kind of a numerical targets on the energy storage business and our other cooperations. And my last question is if our company can share with us some updates on the subsidiary Asia listing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your question again. So for the corporations with all this storage battery companies, including CATL, Guoxia, and others, I think that's a very strategic move. In our prepared remarks, we emphasize that is our long-term strategy prepared for the future, because with the, you know, grid parity ongoing, We are anticipating a massive installation in renewable sector, especially in PV industry, to be happening in the next coming years. And because the nature of the PV solar power generation system and the storage is a must for the whole industry's further growth. That's why we have, you know, established the partnership with the key players in the storage sectors to make sure that we are well prepared for that. And to make it more specifically, and we joined research and the development together with you know, some of the resources sharing, and the leverage each other's respective advantage to jointly promote the future business development for the solar plus energy solutions. And the next question, I think Charlie will take that.
The IPO process is still, you know, on the track, and we submitted the application to the Shanghai Stock Exchange by the end of June. And as of today, it's still in the review process by the regulators.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for taking my questions, and I will pass on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Sansara Capital, Mr. Rajiv, please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, good evening. I had a few questions. The first question is about gross income. You guys did a very good job in improving the gross income number from the first quarter and balancing the mix of wafers and modules to get there. Is it reasonable to think that, you know, obviously there's a lot of dynamics, that gross income will continue to grow in the third quarter, even as you are increasing sharply the amount of modules that you will ship relative to wafers and cells? I'm not talking about the gross margin number, but the gross income itself. Is it reasonable to think that that will continue to increase in the third quarter?
You know, so you have two questions. One is the gross income and gross margins. And gross margin, you know, second quarter, we did have relatively good, you know, compared to our expectations. The major part is the wafer third-party sales contributions. And towards your third quarter, we expect the gross income will continue to increase, while the gross margin is under pressure because we are trying to have more solar module shipments. At the same time, you know, the upstream, the material costs are on the, you know, upwards. And but, you know, we are trying to continue to increase our module price, and but it's still facing, you know, the high polysilicon, the EVA glasses and the price, you know, upwards. So in general, we expect the gross income will increase while the gross margin is in a downward trend.
I understand. But the important thing is that gross income will continue to grow. The second question is that, you know, you maintained your guidance of 25 to 30 gigawatts for full year shipments, which suggests that you are expecting shipments of about 9 gigawatts in the fourth quarter. Can you elaborate? Can you give us some insights into what the reasons are to expect such a big ramp from third quarter shipments? And then I have one more question.
I think the strong Q4 is it's within the plan. I think it's part of the nature of the solar industry, because if you look back in the last two, even 3 years' time, Q4 is always the peak season as of the whole year, mainly because people are expecting a very strong demand from China. I think each company or the whole industry as a whole, everyone will expect a stronger Q4. That's one part of the nature of the industry demand. And another part is we are steadily ramping up our in-house capacity as well. So naturally, you know, our capacity will grow by time flying, and also as well as preparing for the 2022 as well.
Okay. So obviously you are expecting a very substantial increase in module shipments as well in the fourth quarter. So the way you'll get to the 9 gigawatts will be a substantial increase in module shipments.
Right? Well, that will part, in general, yes, that's the direction, but we still have the flexibility to expose our, you know, cells, break our cells into wafer cells or modules as we did in the Q2 or even Q3. So we have the flexibility, but in general, the total shipment will grow for sure.
Okay. And my final question is on your capacity. You have substantially increased your capacity for modules, and you're now talking about 45 gigawatts for next year. That's a very significant increase, and this is despite the fact that your module shipments this year are not growing as rapidly as they have grown in past years. So, can you give us some insights into why you think that 45 gigawatts for modules in 2022 is the right number, especially given that you'll have shipped about, 21 or 22 gigawatts this year?
It's a strategic preparations for next year. And this year, the market is constrained by the polysilicon. And after the bottleneck is debottled, from polysilicons, and we expect, next year the market will be, accelerate the demands. And on top of that, we are planning the N-type cell capacities, and it's next generations and the capacities, and the module, it's the capacity is relatively small, and we want to build up module as quickly as possible and for the preparation of next year. And if you look at our shipment, let's say 9 gigawatts, and you based on your calculations in fourth quarter, and the module is still, we face some, supply shortage, particularly we are building the large size the module capacities for the next generations.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Goldman Sachs, Mr. Brian Lee. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey guys, thanks for squeezing me in for some questions. I had a couple housekeeping ones. First one, you guys gave us the breakout for modules and wafers. Can you do anything similar for what is embedded in the 3Q guidance, as well as, since you're maintaining the full year, there's an implicit mix you're assuming in 4Q. Can you give us a sense of, module versus non-module shipments in 3Q and 4Q?
Third quarter, we gave the guidance, total shipments 5 to 5.5, including module 4.5 to 5. So the gap, the difference, is the majority part is the wafer third-party sales. But taking to the fourth quarter, we are still flexible, but majority part of where at this stage we are expecting it's from the module shipments.
Okay, fair enough. And then just on the earlier question about gross margins, it sounds like you're seeing some margin pressure on both product types. Can you give us a rough sense of where gross margins are for modules versus non-module shipments in your guidance?
Third quarter, we give the guidance 12% to 15%, and you know, the majority part is more, so the gross margin is you know, it's very same, you know, same with module gross margin. And for the fourth quarter, we still some uncertainties. The material cost is in upward very quickly, and at the same time we are shifting our module shipment to China, the majority part, and you know, and we are trying to get relatively high the module price, and hopefully, you know, we are able to offset the cost, you know, upward pressures.
Okay, fair enough. And then maybe two more from me. I know you can't quantify, or you don't want to quantify, you know, the shipments that have been held up at the border here with the WRO in the U.S. Can you give us a sense, I guess, what sort of mix impact or mix are you assuming in terms of shipments for the U.S. in Q3 and Q4? Are you actually embedding U.S. shipments, module shipments, into the forecast here for either quarter? And then maybe related to that, you know, you have the 400 megawatt facility in Florida. Are you able to get cells, I guess non-JNCO or JNCO cells, into the country to run that module facility?
Well, I think the mix is something difficult to disclose at the current stage, because we are cautiously optimistic about our documentations, which has been well prepared. But it's still, you know, it's not 100%, you know, JNCO's call to decide what to do next. That's why we are cautiously monitoring the situation and doing our best. And right now, like Charlie just said just now, I think we are very confident about the demand. It's not, right now, it's not the problem of the demand, it's the problem of the supply. So, shipment-wise, we have multiple alternatives, and even we have a full commitment to our U.S. customers and our U.S. Market, and we are preparing for it, but it's difficult to disclose any detailed number, even for Q3 or Q4 in U.S. shipment yet.
I guess maybe to ask it another way, if you don't have clarity that you can move product into the U.S., ship product into the U.S., are you still planning to bring product to the border at risk of having it being seized for months until it gets released and you can maybe ship it to another alternative location, as you mentioned? I guess what's the strategy around, you know, taking that risk of having shipments which get delayed and then ultimately you do have to reroute them elsewhere versus waiting out the process to see what, you know, what you should do with future shipments over the next couple quarters?
I think we're still, you know, continue to stick to our plan for the shipment. Even we have some challenges because of the COVID control in the local Southeast Asia countries, but we're still doing our best to find solutions with our customer right now. So for detail number wise, again, we cannot quantify it yet because it's. We don't have any number which we can disclose, but still we are doing our best, and we have the confidence to continue to have our business ongoing, not only in U.S. but in the other markets as well. So we are working in different alternatives in parallel, so we have no concerns on that.
Last housekeeping one for me. What was the CapEx here for the first half of the year? And then is there an updated view on CapEx guidance for 2021? Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Okay, for the first half of 2021, where the CapEx number is approximately 580
million US dollars.
And
we increase the plan to build up more, module capacities and to reach to 45 gigawatts. So we increase our CapEx, target this year. And it's for the full year, it's roughly around 1.1 billion in US dollars.
Okay, thanks guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. The Q&A session is still open. If you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. If you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. Our next question is from UBS, Mr. William Griffin. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you very much for fitting me in here. Just another one on the shipments. Obviously, the guidance implies a pretty substantial ramp in the fourth quarter for shipments to reach the total guidance. I'm curious, going into the quarter, are you expecting to hold more module inventory or do you have the ability to ramp production that quickly depending on what the final mix of module and component sell and wafer sales end up being?
So firstly, let me comment in general. I think my colleagues will give you a breakdown detail later. So in general, I think the market demand is quite strong, and we are holding some of the inventory really because of the accounting issues, and we have the contract to fulfill. But right now, the global international logistics shipping lines are facing a big headache right now. I think it's not only for solar industry, but for all the industries. So it's difficult to get the ship on time and on schedule. So that's why, we have sometimes we have to face accounting point. We have some inventories on hand, but actually we have all the contract covered for those inventories.
Okay, and then just one more for me. The guidance obviously implies cost pressures accelerating here in the third quarter. Despite polysilicon prices being pretty stable over the time period, glass obviously coming down. Just wondering if you could provide a little more color on, why are we seeing or expected to see margin compression in the third quarter relative to the second quarter? And what level of confidence do you have here that, you may actually meet or exceed the high end of the range again?
The major part is, I think, how we calculate the cost in second quarter and third quarter is based on the weighted average. And the polysilicon, reached to the high price starting from, May this year. So in the second quarter, based on the weighted average, the polysilicon price is not so high. It's not, $200 RMB, kilo. It's not based on that cost in the calculation in the second quarter. It's fairly low, But with the time collapse, into the third quarter, and the polysilicon, the average cost is reached to relatively high level. That is the major part, and hopefully you understand that, this is really average, and the polysilicon price, and it's accelerated the pace, starting from May, and so from the calculation perspective, really average, the more impact will be reflected in the third quarter. So I think one of the, the key, impact on the cost side.
Got it. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, it's a follow-up from Mr. Rajiv from Sansera Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, I would like you to give us a little bit more clarification on the revenue number that you have guided for the third quarter, because using different combinations of wafers and modules shipments in the third quarter, and assuming that there is some price increases from Q2 to Q3, the revenue numbers that I'm coming up with are higher than 1.4 billion, which is obviously higher than your guidance. So can you help us understand why your revenue guidance at the high end is 1.35 when using your low end of your shipment guidance combined with assuming that prices are stable or up for both modules and wafers, the revenue number that we come up with is higher than 1.4 billion.
It's a mixed issue, and you know, I mean, the shipment to U.S. versus our regions. The U.S., you know, the ASP relatively stable, you know, by regions, but you know, we have more shipments, you know, in the third quarter versus second quarter. And in the third quarter, and the U.S. shipments is relatively lower than the second quarter, and the percentage-wise, the U.S. shipments taking less, you know, percentage of the total shipment. And the U.S., you know, because of the trade issues, and the ASP is dramatically higher than the other regions. So it's a mixed issues.
So what you're saying is that you can increase your gross income from second quarter to third quarter, even if at the aggregate level, the wafer, the module price that you will realize from the will go down from second quarter to third quarter because you have less shipments to the U.S. where the module price is inflated.
Yes, you're right. And with the cost, you know, production cost is higher. And in the U.S., we need to pay additional, you know, 201 tariff cost. So the gross income from U.S. shipments actually is not so significant difference with our regions. And we have more shipments in our regions, and which has no impact on the gross income contributions.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.